good, sincere, honest students fail. Let me explain. There are four parts to your education. Part number one, college. Part number two, church. Part number three, home. Part number four, work. Now these four are the components of your education. If you pass on three of these, you'll be a failure in life. To fail in any one of these will lead you to failure. I said school, I said church, I said home, and I said work. Those who succeed here, or in any area of life, succeed in each four of these phases. Let me give you a little outline to go by. In the first place, you came to college. You came to college. When you left home, folks said, "Where are you going?" You didn't say, didn't say, "I'm going off to church." You didn't say, "I'm going off to home, going off to work." You said, "I'm going off to college." Now, you came to college. Number two, you will come to church. Number three, you live at home. And number four, you go to work. Now, if these four things are healthy in your life, I'll promise you, you'll be a success. I'm not talking about a success in getting a degree. I'm not talking about a success in good grades. Look at me now. Nobody looks down. Nobody plays their fingers. Look right this way. I'm talking about being a success in life. Number one, you came to college. That's why you're here. And don't forget that. That's why you're here. This is the equivalent. Your college is the equivalent to a layman's job. It's equivalent to a woman being a wife. It is your main purpose. You're here. So, you came to college. Hey, don't forget that. I do not think that you ought to neglect your college for your church. I do not think you ought to neglect your college for your home or for your work. In fact, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, duties never conflict. But now, I want to say this. You came to college. So, number one, be in class. Be there. I hate cuts. I don't even like the idea of allowing so many cuts. Every time you take a cut in class, unless you're too sick to go or have a providential hindrance, then you're showing a lack of character. I said be in class. Number two, listen. While you're in class, listen. Number three, learn. Keep it in front of you all the time. I came to go to college. I came to go to college. I came to go to college. Don't forget that. And don't be detoured from the main purpose of your being here. I have seen students fail because they give tuition money to City Baptist students. And you can't pay your tuition. Now listen carefully to me. Every one of you is more important than a dozen City Baptist students. You have been called of God to serve Him in a full-time capacity. You're God's chosen, and you must not neglect the purpose that you came. No misunderstanding. I think you ought to give to City Baptist students. I think you ought to give to the offering time. But I'm saying I have known students to fail because they neglected their own college payment and dropped out of school even because of giving to the City Baptist students. I have seen students fail because they just came to get a degree. Now I want to say this. If you came to get a degree, go on home. We're not interested in giving you a piece of paper. We're interested in giving you tools for life where you can get out of here and save this country and serve God and get people saved and get folks out of hell and build great churches and go to mission fields. Look at me now. Look at me. If you just came to get a degree, you're at the wrong college. If you came to get a piece of paper, you're at the wrong college. Hey, you can write in and get one for a few $100s. They'll mail you one. Or you can take one for correspondence. I wouldn't give you a dime for correspondence degrees, but you can take one for correspondence. That's all you want. I have also seen students fail, get this now, because they succeed at their job and then they have too high a living standard and then they continue at the job and don't fulfill the purpose while they're coming to college. Bob Marshall, stand up, would you please? Bob Marshall, one of our administrators here. Bob Marshall came to college here. He graduated. He got a job. He worked his way high in the plant. I heard that they offered him $100,000 a year if he'd stay and not serve the Lord full time. I want to say you're an idiot. But no joke. This guy could have made he could have been wealthy because he did what everybody's got a job here ought to do. He was the hardest worker on the job. Thank you, Bob. Now, I'm saying I have seen students fail because they got too wrapped up in the job. The job is to pay expenses. You're here to go to college. I said you're here to go to college. I have seen students fail because they were too demanding, their wives are too demanding, and they neglected their work. I've seen students fail because you just came to get a husband. If that's why you came, go on home. Go on home. We're not here to, I'm Dr. Love, but let's go down to the next point here. Remember this now, you came to go to college. You older students have heard this story. When I was in school, I think Abraham Lincoln was president at the time. When I was in school, out in the country on the Shreveport Highway outside Marshall, Texas, where I went to college, there was an old retired missionary named Gustave Norling. Gustave Norling was in his 90s. He had served a lifetime as a missionary to Norway. His health had failed him. He was a shut-in, bedridden, and he had to come back to the States and lived in one little room on a bed out a few miles, about 15, 20 miles east of Marshall, Texas, where I went to college. Every Friday afternoon, I'd go out to Gustave Norling's place and sit beside his bed. As a young man, I just let him teach me. I wanted to learn what he had. And by the way, these older people, you listen to Carl Lorenz while they talk to you. And these other men who have experiences. I'm saying that every Friday afternoon, I'd go out and spend an hour with Gustave Norling. I went to a college that was dead. The professors were dead. In fact, all the professors were somewhat like Brother Sally. So I decided to quit college because it was dead. And the college, I didn't like Brother Gustave Norling, and he didn't much like the college either. I went out one Friday afternoon, and I said, Brother Norling, I got some good news for you. He said, what's that, Mr. Hiles? And I said, I'm quitting school. Now, you know what a quitter is? It's a guy who doesn't finish. That's what a quitter is. Now, one of the first things I want you to do when this chapel's over, you go to your room, you get your dictionary, and you get you a pair of scissors, and you turn to the word quit and cut it out of your dictionary. If you came to my office down on the Sibley Street, if you looked at my Webster's Intercollegiate Dictionary and turned to the word quit, you wouldn't find it. It's not in there. Bless God, the word quit is not in my dictionary. And the second word I want you to cut out, and that's the word compromise. They're easy to find. They both start with a K, so cut them out this afternoon. And I said, Brother Norling, I'm going to quit college. He raised himself up on his arms like that as much as he could and said, Mr. Hiles, that's a mistake of your life. And I said, why? I said, the college is dead. You know that. There's not a decent teacher up there that's on fire for God. He said, Mr. Hiles, don't forget this, though. Every teacher there, no teacher there is a complete man. None. None of them is complete. But he said, every teacher there knows something in one area that you do not know. He said, you go back up there, and you sit in those classes and listen to those one-dimensional men teach you the one area that where they exceed you in knowledge, and he said, one day you can be a complete man if you do that. Now you listen to me. You hear me carefully. You came to college. You get in that class. You keep your eyes open. You pay attention. You learn by listening. You learn by watching. You came to college. That's what it's all about. Number two, you come to church. You come to church. Now your church is important, but it's like you're like a layman. Your college is your job. A man who's a carpenter or a banker or a doctor or a lawyer, he goes to work during the week. He goes to church on Sunday. He has a job in the church, and that's important. And the church is more important than the school, but the school is training you to build churches. So I'm saying you come to church. What does that mean? That means you join. Now, if your pastor told you not to join First Baptist Church of Hammond, you obey your pastor. But when I was your age, I went off to the World War II, to the war. Every time I went to a new camp, I joined a church nearby. I mean, I went to town to church and joined a church. When I went to college, I joined a church. I went to seminary. I joined a church there. I said, number one, I said, you attend and join. And number two, you tithe. You give 10% of your income. Number three, you're faithful. Be there. Number four, have a job in the church. I'm talking about the Bible clubs. I'm talking about the bus ministry. I'm talking about the Seder ministry. I'm talking about have some kind of a job in the church. And then as you sit in that church service, you listen to every word that's said. Hey, you young people, going to sit back in the back and misbehave during church. Go on home. Take your carcass and go on home. And you walk inside First Baptist Church of Hammond, you sit up there, and it's no time to court, it's no time to talk, it's no time to write notes, it's time for you to soak in everything that's being said. Listen, you will be sitting, hear me now, you'll be sitting in what is known around the world as the greatest church in the world. You will be sitting in the room where more people have come to Christ than any other room in the history of the New Testament church. You will see more people saved in the next 4 years, if you're 4 years, than anybody in the whole world will see. And you are living in history for the sake of Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father and your own future. You keep awake and know what's going on in that church. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I was preaching in a little town outside Fayetteville, Arkansas. Stocksdale, I think was the name of it, Arkansas. Auditorium about this size, maybe not quite this big. Dr. John Rice and I were there. I had my book table. Dr. Rice and I both had book tables in those days. I had a book table back in the back where after the service they sold my books. I walked in, walked up to the book table. A little lady said to me, "Brother Hiles, could I work in your book table, at your book table?" And I said, "I'm sorry, we have three ladies already working the table, and there's no room there for another." Well, she said, "Could my husband and I take you out to eat breakfast tomorrow morning?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I just don't ever go out for breakfast. That's with my wife. I just don't eat much breakfast." And, she said, "Could we take you out after the service tonight?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I just don't go out after the service to eat. Brother Daniels does. I do not go out after the service to eat." And she said, "Well, could we take you to lunch tomorrow?" And I said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, we're having a question and answer time with the preachers and full-time workers, and there's no way I can do it." She put her head on her arm and put her arm down on the table and began to cry. Very well-to-do, upper-middle-class lady. And she began to cry. And uncontrollably she cried. And I said, "Ma'am, what's wrong? Why are you crying?" And she said, "Don't you know who I am?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I do not." She said, "My name is Yunkins, Younkins, Yunkins." She said, "Do you remember me?" "Yeah, I remember you." She said, "We are members of your church in Garland, Texas, Miller Road Baptist Church. You were just a young man back in those days." And she said, "We got peeved at you. We left the church. We went over to Second Baptist Church and joined over there. And now," she said, "after all these years," she said, "you're our favorite preacher. We have a private plane. If you're preaching anywhere within 200 miles of Fayetteville, Arkansas, we go on our plane. Hear you preach." She said, "We go 200 miles, hear you now. We wouldn't drive across town to hear you. Wake up. Hey, we're having church here. If you're going to sleep through college, go on home. Get your motel room. Wake up while you're in chapel." And so she said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "we've lived in remorse." She said, "We did not know that someday you'd pastor the largest church in America. We had no idea. We could have contributed to you while you, a young man, had a part in your ministry. And to think we blew it She said, why didn't you tell us you're going to pastor the largest church in America someday? I said, you didn't ask me. But she said, now here's what's going to happen. Some of you are going to sit right here in the world's greatest college and not even be aware of it. Some of you are going to sit in the greatest church in the world, the biggest church in America. You're going to sit there and doodle on a piece of paper or talk or misbehave with your boyfriend. I'm trying to tell you, young people, take advantage of it. You have an opportunity very few people have. I'm saying, you came to college, now come to church and get busy and active in the church. I travel around the country, I see our graduates. So often, these successful pastors around the country are talking to each other. And one of them will say to the other, hey, we were on the same bus route, weren't we? Some of you are going to say, hey, we shot baskets all afternoon together, didn't we? I'm saying, get busy in the church. Now, don't misunderstand me. You came to college. And don't sacrifice your college for the church, but you won't have to. And you get busy in the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And when the report comes out about all the people who've been saved, and you say, bless God, I had a bunch of those saved. I had a bunch of those folks baptized. When you came to college, you come to church. Number three, you live at home. You live at home. And I want to talk to you married men for a few moments. You are married. And don't forget your wife while you're in college. It's a busy time of your life. Don't forget your wife. I have seen students fail because their marriages fail. Get this, fellas. You lose your marriage, you lose your ministry. Whatever you do, you nurture that marriage. Ms. Howes and I, we were in college together. We were married. And I took a full load, 16 hours at least, every semester. I pastored a church nearby, full time. I worked 40 hours a week at a job. Three things could occupy, anyone could occupy my time. However, I had 1 hour a day, I called it Bev's hour. My wife's name Beverly, I called it Bev's hour. Every day, I had an hour for my wife. I mean, just the two of us. We say, what did you do? Let's go down to the next point here. Then, not only have a Bell's hour, but I had a weekly date. We still do. I'm 72 years old. We still go to Lover's Lane. We take a nap out there, but we go to Lover's Lane. Now, I'm saying, we still have a date every week. Had a weekly date. Once a week, I made it a policy, once a week, to tell my wife I appreciated the fact what she was going through. So I get education. Fellas, don't forget your... Now, you used to live in the house. I'm not married. Okay, work on it. Good night, work. By the way, date. 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 You sanctimonious fellas. Don't forget our motto. We will send anybody home from college that kisses his girlfriend. Point number two. We'll send anybody home from college that doesn't want to kiss his girlfriend. Is Cindy here? Is your wife here? Is your wife here? Give me a couple of young, pretty some young couple over here. Oh, come on, Dan. Come on. I said young, but you'll do. Come on up here. Come on, Miss Daniels. Come on up here. Mic, please. All right. You are over here. You're over here. And this is your girlfriend.
This is my girlfriend.
Yes. And you're going to come in. I'm the president of the college. And you're going to come in and ask me if you can kiss your girlfriend. I said, you're going to come in and ask me if you can kiss your girlfriend.
Dr. Howes.
Yes.
Would it be okay if I kiss my girlfriend?
Oh, Dan, we don't do that here at all. We wait until the marriage altar to kiss the girlfriend.
Oh, we did that at Auburn.
I'm sorry. In Auburn University, you did that?
Yes.
There's so many things I'd like to say right now, I'm not going to say.
They did.
Argue to kiss her. And then,
okay.
Please.
Please, preacher. President. Please.
I'm sorry.
Just one time. No, that's all I ask. Just one time.
We have a rule against it.
Keep on. Oh. Oh. She's so pretty. Have you seen her lips?
Well, I'm going to plead the Fifth Amendment on that one, if you don't mind.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, preacher, it'd make my day. It really would. I promise.
We're going to rehearse.
We'll do it in broad daylight.
I want you to go over to this one. I'm going to stop you, okay?
Okay. I'm sorry you can't.
Preacher, I've got to do it.
Oh, you can't.
I'm sorry.
No, sir. You can't do it.
I've got it.
No, you can't.
Preacher, please.
Hold it. I now pronounce you as husband and wife.
Oh, okay.
All right. God bless you. Thanks for your sacrifice, Miss Daniel. I said date. If you don't date, you don't rate. And you won't get a mate. And it won't be great. And you want to be your fate? Now listen carefully. In your dormitories, that's your home. The relationship between you and those in your dormitory, especially our co-educational dormitories. We've made some new rules since you were here. And everybody who lives in the dorms, consider your dormitory mates. If you're in the boys' dorm, consider them your brothers. If the girls' dorm, consider them your sisters. And listen carefully to me now. By all means, wherever you live, have it peaceful and happy and a joyous spirit. I said, number one, you came to college. You came to college. That's why you're here. Don't forget it. Number two, you come to church. Number three, you live at home. Number four, you go to work. Now you guys and gals, listen to me. The best worker at your job ought to be you. I will vote to ship any student home and expel him who gets fired for not doing his job right. We just moved, as you know, into a condominium. We just moved to a condominium. His house and I did about three or four months ago. I was only, most of the people that live there are middle-aged to older. There are 40 different condominiums in this one building. By the way, it's a very exclusive kind of place. Probably the nicest condominiums in all Lake County, Indiana. And the people, for example, the former president of the Cayman National Bank lives there. Mr. Seeberger of the Seeberger Realty lives there. Mr. Forgotten the guy's name of the building company. Anyway, people who are classy people such as myself. Thank you. You're going to go a long ways in this place. I don't know who you are, but you just took Dr. Jack Scott's place on administration. Unless he can get more excited right quick than you are. I was on the elevator. We're new, so I don't know the people too well. I was on the elevator the other day, and I met this older man, real old, about 72. Ought to be in a can of glue somewhere. But we were talking, and he told me his name, and I'm Jack Hiles, and he said, is that the Hiles of Hiles Anderson College? I said, yes, it is. And I waited to either get kissed or kicked, one or the other, you know. And very soberly and quietly and sincerely, he said, I like your school. Now, I'm a businessman. I own a business. I employ about 50 people. He said, half of them are your people. Amen. And I held my breath. And I said, I hope they never disappoint you. And he said, the best employees that I have are your people. And let that be said in every business place in this area. If you're getting paid 8 hours a day, don't you work 7 hours and 59 minutes. You work 8 hours a day. If they laugh at you on the job, let them laugh. If they get mad, let them get mad. If you're outworking them, go ahead and outwork them. I'm trying to say, work. Work is as spiritual as pray. Now listen carefully and I'll close. Each of these is a vital part of your education. You say education? Oh yes. Education. At college, you're learning how to do it. At church, you're seeing how to do it. At home, you're showing how to do it. And at work, you're doing it. So I call you today, the opening day of our school year, I call you to have the right priorities in life. You came to go to college. You come to church. You live at home. And you go to work. While you're at home, be at home. Don't be watching the box or something else. Be at home while you're home. Take time with your family. When you're at work, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Let me tell you some of the names of folks who did this at Howells Anderson College. Those who had the right priorities. Those who came to go to school. Those who come to church. Those who lived at home. Those who went to work. Let me give you some of their names. Listen carefully. Bruce Goddard. Mike Haynes. Bob Gray. Rick Martin. Some of the greatest names in Christianity today. Now listen carefully. I'll give you the names of those who did not have these priorities. I can't think of any. Nobody knows them. You came to college. You come to church. You live at home. You go to work. You put these things in the proper order and give it the best you've got at every place. And I promise you that one day one of us will be up here calling your name among the illustrious alumni of our college. Have a great year. We're glad you're here. It's a wonderful, wonderful crowd, and we welcome you folks who are here for the first time. And to those who've come back, we're sure glad to see you back. Hope you had a good summer. And let's bow for prayer, please. While our heads are bowed, let every heart speak to God. And every lips silently whisper this prayer. Dear God, I promise you my best at school. I promise you my best at church. I promise you my best at home. I promise you my best at work. Heavenly Father, I do not ask that this area agree with us. I do not ask that men like the men I mentioned a while ago say, I believe all you believe. I don't ask for that. I simply ask that you'd help us to so live and so work and so behave that people will say, I like your product. I like your product. Bless every student this year, every faculty member, the administration, to the glory of Christ. Amen. Dr. Evans, if I have an announcement.